Well, thank you for that. It's been a long day, and we're near the end. And we trust that we'll try and keep it brief and simple for us all. I suppose this is part of my teaching background, but I've got a little ABC for you this evening. And what I've been thinking upon for just now is really links so well with what we've had over these 2 days. And it's wonderful, isn't it, when we see that happening and we see the Spirit just working. And perhaps there is really a message here over these last 2 days that's speaking to some hearts. And it's just something for you. And we just trust in these last few moments in the closing message just to really pull that out and to sort of bring it home to our hearts so we'll have something that we can go away with, something that will help us. I think one of the things that really, if we could summarize everything we have heard, it's about reality, isn't it? The reality of our faith, the reality of Christ, the reality of our fellowship with the gospel, with Christ, with each other. Is it real for us? Is it just something we kind of say we believe? Kind of goes right back to where we started, wasn't it? What Stuart was talking about yesterday. Is this just something we say we believe? We say, well, we're saved, we trust God for our salvation and our eternal destiny and so on. But really, this life is just, well, we just carry on ourselves. What we've just been hearing, it's about ourselves, what we do. Or is this real? Does this really mean something? You know, as you think, I was thinking, what do you say for a closing message for the New Year's conference? Well, I suppose you kind of look back, don't you? You look back over the previous year. You look forward, maybe, to a year coming in the will of the Lord. You know, as we look back, we see many challenges growing. And what I want to think about this evening is just the idea of boldness. Boldness. I think it's something that more and more increasingly we are going to need to have, boldness for Christ. You know, you look back over the past year, and more you're finding in the news believers who are having to stand for their faith. You know, we've heard a little bit about it just now with David has been, you know, we don't really have to suffer too much yet. And people across the world, you know, we in other parts really are persecuted and suffer, and they have to stand for what they believe for. But I think it's coming, isn't it? And I was just looking on the Christian Institute website just the other day and just had a look and kind of scanned down over the sort of headlines that they have there. They pull different headlines from various sources. It's just interesting, just over the year, you know, different ones who've had to take a stand. Some teachers. We've heard this lately over the last few months about this, a couple with the bed and breakfast down in the south of England. You think of preachers as well on the streets. And just lately as well, I was hearing of a judge who has taken a stand for marriage, has faced pressure in that he's kind of feeling, well, it's time to retire. These are things that are there, things that maybe we're looking ahead on. We don't know what this year has for us. We don't know what lies ahead in the will of the Lord. But perhaps there will be a time, a moment, where we will have to stand. And we speak to all tonight, to the young at school, or those maybe with businesses, or those who work in public places. We don't know when that moment may come when we will have to take a stand. You look through the scriptures, you look through the Old Testament, you see people, and there was that moment when they had to stand for what they believed in. You think of Joseph. That moment came in a house. When Potiphar's wife would try and persuade him, and he had to take a stand, and it cost him, didn't it? Not just men, you think of Esther. There was a time where there was that moment where she had to take a stand. She had to nail her colours to the mast. She had to go into the king and she had to speak for her people. And of course, you think of Daniel as just a few. Ones who had to, there was that time, that moment where they had to stand. And what my My burden tonight is that we would just prepare our hearts and prepare ourselves to be ready, because we know not when that challenge may come to us. It could be next week. Maybe some of you young ones, you go back to school and there's a challenge. There's something. And you have to take a stand. Are you ready? Are you ready for it? What I want to think about the ABC is acquiring boldness for Christ. Or really acquiring boldness in Christ, as we shall see. Let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. This follows on very nicely from what we've been hearing. Humility. Paul, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And then across to chapter 6. Let's just read verse 13, first of all. This is the... Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. God will bless his word. Just got five little questions just to think about briefly before we close this evening. First of all, I want to think about, why do we need boldness? Secondly, who needs it? What is it grounded in? How do we get it? And the last question is the challenging one. Do we want it? Well, why do we need boldness? We've already spoken of that, really. The days in which we live, there's more and more this persecution. There's more and more this growing pressure. The philosophy, the worldview that is around us that we've been hearing of, it's just completely at odds with what Christ would teach. And so more and closer we get to that day where we will have to stand boldly. We were thinking earlier this afternoon of how the Lord could say to Moses and tell the people, go forward. There's a time to go forward. There's a time to go out. There's a time to go and preach and to move forward in the things of God and make progress in the things of God. But there's also a time to stand. We read about this here in chapter 6. Stand, stand, stand over and over again. And this is when the pressure's coming. The idea here isn't that we're standing and not making progress. The idea here is that there is pressure to compromise, pressure to maybe turn back, pressure to go backwards. And God would say, the Word of God would say, stand. At that time, when the pressure's at its hottest, you need to stand. Stand for Christ. But who needs it? I mean, you think of this here. This is the Apostle Paul. And look what he's writing at the end of Ephesians. He's saying, pray for me. Pray for me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is the Apostle Paul. I mean, if you were to ask someone now, tell me someone in the Bible who was a bold person, perhaps one of those people would be the Apostle Paul. And yet here he is, he's asking for prayer that he would have boldness to speak for Christ, that he would be able to open his mouth and to speak. It's not easy, you know. And I would ask the same prayer for myself, and I'm sure any others who go out to speak and so on. And we all need it, don't we? But what the point is here is this boldness that we're talking about, it's not a natural boldness. This is not a natural boldness. Paul, I would say, was naturally a bold person. When you think, we've already thought of that, his history, what he was, and the pride that he had in himself. He was really quite an extrovert person, wasn't he? And many of us are extrovert people. And we'll be the first to kind of maybe speak out. And we'll be the first to put our foot forward and to just go at it. And we'll be there and everyone will know it. And we're extrovert. And then there's others who are quite more introverted. And maybe you take a back seat and you maybe don't like just that sort of chit-chat with people and you find it hard and you find it difficult to maybe speak. But we're all different. But what we're saying here is that this is not that if you're extrovert, this is going to be really easy for you to speak boldly and to be bold for Christ. That's not the point. Because natural boldness in itself will not do here. We've already been hearing about the ego and the reputation that we all think we have. And either of those cases, extroverted or introverted, it's all based on fear, I think, isn't it? Why does the extrovert take the step forward and go out? Does he fear what people think, that he ought to be there taking the lead? Is he kind of worried about the reputation? And then the introverted person, well, they're holding back because of fear as well. And fear's a big thing, isn't it? But natural boldness will not do. When you think of the Apostle Peter, there's another one who was bold. And he was willing to just say what he thought. You know, the expression is a bull in a china shop sometimes, isn't it? And we all know that, those people who, they will just speak their mind. And Peter was like that. He was a naturally bold person. But yet there came that point, that very point, where the pressure was at its most. And there he was, standing in that courtyard, around that fire. Natural boldness was nothing. Didn't hold him in any stead. And we know what happened. He denied the Lord 3 times. And that really, really hurt him, didn't it? And looking back, he's always... it's always in his mind. How wonderful it is that Christ was able to restore and to bring and use Peter again. The idea of natural boldness, isn't it? There's something else that we need. And the same with the other, the introverted. I was thinking of Moses. You know, when the Lord called Moses and said, Moses, there's a job for you to do. You need to go back to Egypt and you need to go to Pharaoh and you need to tell him, let my people go. What was Moses's? He says, no, I can't do that. I can't speak like that. And there was that fear. There was that holding back. And yet God would still use him. And God would still bring him through. And Moses was able to have that boldness to go into Pharaoh and to say, let my people go. And so whether, on whatever side, there is something we need. Where does this boldness come from? It's something we all need. And it's not going to come from ourselves. Going to come from somewhere else. Where is it grounded in? Well, what we read in chapter 6 of Ephesians, this is the speaking boldly in our lives here to a world outside. Taking that stand to a world that would pressurize us. But where does that boldness come from? Well, we read about it in chapter 3, didn't we? We read about the boldness there. The boldness in chapter 3, it's a different boldness. It's not the boldness of speaking out. And of standing firm for Christ in a world that rejects him. Look what it says in verse number 11, verse number 12 of chapter 3. It says, in whom we have boldness. You know, Paul here writing at the end of Ephesians, he's saying, now pray that I might have boldness. Pray for that. But now in chapter 3 earlier on, he's already saying, this is something we have. We have boldness. He says it's in Christ. And we've just been hearing of that. I don't have time to go into all of it, but we need to look to Christ. It's in Christ that our boldness comes. If we think we can stand for what we believe in our own strength, we're going to fail. If we think we can just leave it and we can go into this year and we can face whatever comes and we're doing it out of our own boldness, we're going to fail. But if we realize that we're nothing, and we realize that Christ is everything, and we're in His presence, and we're appreciating the person of Christ and what He's done for us, that's where our boldness lies. It's interesting, isn't it, that this aspect of boldness is being brought out in the Ephesian letter. You know, the letter of that great heights of all of Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Let's just read the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Paul's writing here and he's saying, now let's just think of what we have been brought into. As a result of Christ, as a result of His character, of His person, of His work. And if you think of all of that, that sinless, perfect character, that He gave that up, He died for us, He gave His life, that He rose again the third day, and He's ascended into heaven itself. If you think of that, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Think of what Christ has done, that He has chosen us in Him. In Him. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be holy. You know, there's a little verse in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, when there's no one pursuing. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Now notice there's two groups there in that verse. There's the wicked, there's the righteous. The wicked, well they'll flee. Even when there is no pressure, and there's just a thought of pressure perhaps, there's the thought of, the wicked will run. Why? Just like we were hearing earlier, because of self-preservation. They want to preserve themselves, they'll run. The righteous, however, are as bold as a lion. They're righteous. How do we become righteous? Which group are we in? Are we in the group that are the wicked? Are we in the group that are the righteous? I wonder, are we all here today? Are we in that group classed as the righteous? Or are we still in that group that's described as wicked? Paul, of course, in Romans, he takes up the thought of the righteousness of God, doesn't he? Starts with that chapter 1, the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man. And he goes through and you come then to chapter 5 of Romans. And you have that verse at the very end of chapter 5. Therefore, as by the, this is verse 18 of Romans 5. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see, when Ephesians 3, Paul is saying, in whom we have boldness. It's in Christ. Why? Because He has given His life. He is the one who's been obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. He is the one that is the righteousness of God. And you think He Was it say in 2 Corinthians 5, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It's in Christ. Do we really appreciate what Christ has done for us? What we have been made into? That we've been made righteous? That we have been made holy? That's why we stand. Because it's not about us, as we've been hearing. It's about Christ. And we stand for him. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And we stand for him. How do we get it? Well, it's faith, isn't it? It's faith. We believe. Romans 9. We turn over a few pages in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. It's faith. That's how we're saved. That's how we're made righteous. That's how we have boldness. It's faith. But not only has Christ died for us, but now he's ascended into the right hand of God. Sits upon the throne of grace, a great high priest. And we read in Hebrews, don't we, now we have boldness to enter. That's what Ephesians 3 spoke about, that, didn't it? In whom we have boldness and access. And access, we've got boldness with God. Imagine that. We who are feeble sinners, we now have boldness through what Christ has done on the cross, and we can come right into the very presence of Almighty God in boldness. And we can speak to him. We can tell him of our needs. As we were thinking yesterday, not just the big things, but even the small things, he's interested. I love that, what Stuart was bringing to us yesterday, of David going into the sanctuary, the bread and the sword of Goliath. It's been, Christ has dealt with the biggest thing, and he'll deal with the small things. And we can come with boldness into his presence. And so as we look out on a year ahead, we don't know what may come, but perhaps for some of us, there will be a point in time, there will be a moment in a day, when perhaps unexpectedly a challenge will come, and we'll be required to stand for Christ. It'll either be stand for Christ or compromise our faith. And are we going to be ready? The only place where we can get ready is in the presence of Christ. Come with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. You think of Nehemiah. There he is in the presence of the king. And the king says to him, "Now what's wrong? What's wrong, Nehemiah?" It's a moment. He's a little bit fearful. He's going to have to speak to the king. He's not sure how it'll go. What does he do? He comes to the throne of grace. He finds boldness there. As he boldly enters, he finds the boldness to speak. He speaks, and we know what happened. God opened the door. Nehemiah was able to go and to rebuild the walls. We don't know what God has for your life. Maybe great plans, like we were thinking yesterday. But there will come a point where you'll be challenged to stand. Will you be ready? The last question, do we want it? Do we want it? Because as we have heard, it's going to cost fellowship of his sufferings. It's going to cost. There will be a cost. When you think of people through the scriptures who have had to stand for Christ, there's always been a cost. And perhaps sometimes we kind of think, well, I don't really want that cost. And so we kind of shrink into the background. But if we're willing to stand for Christ and to put his honor before our honor, then God will honor us for that. May God bless us. Here.